Assessing the global impact of the floods in Thailand.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Almost 8 months ago, when the earthquake and tsunami struck Japan, we saw the impact natural disasters can have on the global economy when they happen where things are manufactured. Well, today, the focus is on the manufacturing hub of Thailand. Extremely high tides over the weekend brought the country's worst flooding in a half a century to its peak. And now officials are assessing the damage to Thailand and to its global output. For more, let's bring in the BBC's Rachel Harvey, who is with us from Bangkok. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Rachel, is the worst over, and what do things look like out in the streets of Bangkok?
Well, the government's saying that for the center of Bangkok, the worst could be over, but it is only the center of Bangkok that has been spared. If you look at a satellite image, you see this white blob of Bangkok's center surrounded by a sea of blue. So that runoff water that's moving down from the central provinces has now inundated areas in the northern suburbs, to the west of Bangkok, and areas around the main Chao Phraya River. So there's no real sigh of relief here. It's more a case of, okay, the center's been spared the worst, but there are still people that are going to need a lot of help for a long time to come.
People and businesses. I know a lot of the factories are located outside of Bangkok. What's the impact on global business so far?
Well, it's going to be, I think, medium to long term, pretty profound, although they haven't had a chance to really do a proper damage assessment, and they won't do until the floods recede. But we're talking about at least seven industrial parks that are completely underwater. That means thousands of factories that have had to stop work. It means tens of thousands of workers that are temporarily, at least, laid off. So big concerns. We're talking in many cases about electronics firms and auto industry. So Honda and Toyota, for instance, have been heavily impacted by this. And that, of course, follows on from the Japanese tsunami earlier this year. So they've taken a big hit. Sony, Western Seagate. There are predictions that perhaps hard drive prices might be pushed up by all of this. The supply chains and the factories combined, that causes big problems, not just in Thailand, but also farther afield as well.
The BBC's Rachel Harvey in Bangkok. Rachel, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, according to the United Nations, the population of planet Earth hits 7 billion today. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports some regions are concerned and some will benefit.
Feeding or housing 7 billion people may sound scary, but more people also means more workers, more helping hands.
It is counterproductive to frame 7 billion as strictly a doomsday scenario.
Jeff DeBelko studies environmental change at the Woodrow Wilson Center. He says growth means young people. Fast-growing countries like India and Brazil could turn those extra mouths to feed into smart, healthy, productive workers, if they do things right.
But it really is how you support investment and take advantage of the demographic dividend.
Thing is, do India and Brazil have that money to invest? Many countries with enough money don't have that so-called demographic dividend. Japan and parts of Western Europe are at negative population growth. That's hard, too.
Where are you going to find the labor to run the economy and support the older generations?
Today, the United Nations invited each country to pick a symbolic baby instead of naming a single newborn as a 7 billionth person. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are 1% to 2% lower across Europe at this moment. Here in the U.S., the troubled securities firm MF Global is reportedly in a desperate hunt for a buyer this morning. The company, which is run by former New Jersey Governor John Corzine, saw its stock price collapse last week thanks to heavy bets on European debt. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow inched up 22 points to close at 12,231.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
Well, we just did the numbers, and now it's time to dissect the numbers with a quiz about global stock markets and just how dominant the U.S. still is. Let's bring in our quizmaster, Stefan Richter. He is editor-in-chief at theglobalist.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Ready for today's quiz?
I am ready.
All right. What percentage of the world's total stock market capitalization, all stocks value, still is in the United States today? Is it A, 70%? Is it just about half? That will be 50%, of course. Is it C, a little under half, say 40%? Or is it at this time 25%, the way markets have gone down, of course?
Okay, well, I am going to go with half. I think in the financial markets, we're still, I would say, 50%.
You're close, but not quite right. 50% is a little too high, actually, because if the flight to safety continues, of course, out of emerging markets and, ironically, into the U.S. dollar, not that we feel so safe here these days, then it would be 50%, but that's not where we're at anymore. That's a little in history.
Then I've got to go with C, a little under half, 40%.
That is absolutely correct. We are at 40%. But here's my bonus question for you. That 40%, is that higher or the same level as what the U.S. in a totally different but very important field, global defense spending, accounts for? Is our stock market share globally in line with our defense share?
No way, Stefan. We've got to be probably about 70% with our defense.
Not quite. Stock market capitalization, the U.S. share, and the U.S. share of global defense spending are both around 40%, which makes it pretty astounding in terms of a world of parallels.
Stefan Richter is the editor-in-chief of The Globalist. We'll see you next time, Stefan.
All righty. Bye-bye.
And finally, to a pizza dispute in Lake City, Florida. Back on October 20th, a Papa John's there was destroyed in a fire, and police are charging two men who happen to be the managers of the local Domino's. According to officials, one of the men says he thought with the Papa John's out of the way as competition, more pizza lovers would flock to Domino's. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The EU has spoken, and at least for now, Greece is back from the brink. But some of its citizens are still going to vote with their feet.
I know a lot of people, young adults such as myself, are actually going to colleges outside of Greece.
I'm Bob Moon. The Exodus, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.